section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Joey Fuck Up here, Whiskey and Water Base number 39 here at the Milestone here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, yes.
And got a big fucking show lineup tonight. We got a lot of bands playing, or quite a few playing. Angry Youth is going to be playing. Who else, Brian?
Mad Brother Ward.
Yes, and the Dividers.
And the Dividers, and the Flat Tires, Bucket
yes.
Flush, who is on tour with Angry Youth. And
conversing with some of the members here. I've got some unfortunate news that the Dead Kings split up today. Either way, we're going to talk to Biggie fucking Stardust, hopefully, this evening about all that. And we start the show off with a good friend of ours, Trash, with his old band, Triple X Smut, with Burn, motherfucker. And I'm drinking Mickey's Big Mouth. Well, I was actually drinking Four Loko and Sparks, or Tilt. No, I'm sorry, Tilt in the way.
Yes.
And I was right down here from Roanoke, here to Charlotte. It's been a kind of a non-eventful trip, but I mean, what the hell?
It was good. It was good.
Rebecca from Girly Punk Productions is here. She actually kind of helped set this up. Feeling really good. She's looking good.
There's a lot of good people.
This is a cool fucking place. First time I've ever been here. And I'm going to drink some more Mickey's Big Mouth. And I think we're going to the first set with some Flogging Molly.
That's right.
Oh, Up a dress. to KFC.
We'll be right back.
All right, Whiskey Brian here. Again, we are at the Milestone in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have Bucket Flush playing. And this place is pretty fucking incredible. Starting that off was Flogging Molly with Swagger. That was off the Drunken Lullaby CD. The Parents, a great band out of the UK with Natalie from Battersea. Two-Headed Phantom with Knee Deep in Wolf Guts off of the Bloodbeard demo. Face Puncher with Undaunted. And ending that, great band Lucero with Last Night in Town. That was off of the No Bodies Darlings record. We're here kind of across from the bar. Joey's drinking the Mickey's. Hopefully he doesn't pass out tonight. And I guess he's not going to pick up the microphone.
Well, you know, I thought it was all your show tonight, buddy, you know.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. But this place is pretty incredible. It's kind of a house structure of a building, but just really cool. Just graffiti, stickers, just kind of feel like you're home. But I guess we're going to get into more music. We're going to start this set off with Pissant with Dave.
Yes.
Mark died that day. The Reaper Easter Bunny took my fun away. A black leather jacket flag is stuck in the ground. The kick his memory, gotta calm my winnings down. He's the punk pioneer. Learn how to kick him when he's down. To a punk heaven, a punk of God with leather jacket. I will remember that you got your friends.
right, Joey Fuck up here. And the second set, we just heard some Pissant with Dave. Pissant, of course, is Wicked Joe's band, who's actually on tour now with Angry Youth, who is actually getting ready to play on stage. Or have they already played on stage? Are they getting ready to go on there? But they're on tour right now. I have a song, Lady Death. After that, we had the Strap-Ons, since our buddies Billy England out of Norfolk, Virginia, with Punk Pioneer. Then you had UK Subs with Living Dead and GBH with Catch. And I had to throw some GBH in there because Rebecca loves GBH. But I'm here now with Big E and Stardust. Can I call you that? Or
just B. B's fine. That's my MySpace name. Big E and Stardust, my MySpace name.
Well, the band Dead Kings.
Yeah.
Incredible fucking music. But you just told me you guys split up today?
We just put it on hold for about 6 months. We celebrate our 10-year anniversary in October, and we had to just cut some people out because they just time to do some house cleaning. So me and the guitar player Stab Fraley decided to just put it on hold for about 6 months and then regroup. We've never done that before. We've been going nonstop for 10 years, and time for us to take a little break.
Well, you just answered my next question. How long were you guys together? Just recently, I was going on your MySpace page and listened to a lot of your tunes. Incredible, incredible fucking stuff.
Did you get the right page?
The Dead Kings page.
Well, you said it was incredible. I didn't know if maybe you got on if you got in on a Motorhead page or.
Yeah, it was your page. It was
okay.
Definitely your page.
Oh, okay.
And I was blown away, and I was looking at your influences and stuff. But some bands they look at their influences first and then try to write the song off their influences. And then some people, they write a song and then they make it like their influences. And then some people just write their songs and just go with it and they just let their influences blend in naturally. When you guys did your stuff, how did it work? I mean,
we just write songs. I mean, you know, we've written riffs that sound like Motorhead songs or Twisted Sister songs or Ramon songs or... Blue or Chakotay or whatever, you know, and we come along a little bit later and like, oh, wait a second, we just ripped off Motorhead. Oh, well, that's just what we do. I mean, none of us are schooled musicians. I mean, we just know how to play, how can I put it, we can't play a bunch of different kinds of music. We can only play like 3-chord stupid rock and roll, and if we write a certain song, it's not like saying, well, let's write a song that sounds like Turbo Negro. You know,
right.
I mean, we're not that good to do that. We just write the best songs that we can, and you know, sometimes people like it, sometimes people don't. But we just try to write good rock and roll songs, and you know, we're not really conscious of like some sort of method of writing songs. I think all the best songs have been written like it. Paranoid by Black Sabbath was written in 50 minutes in the studio. I mean, it's their most popular song, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who gives a fuck about Mob Rules or all that fucking horse shit after Ozzy left? No one cares about that. No, even the good Ozzy songs like Supernaut, no one gives a fuck about those. But Paranoid, they wrote in less than an hour in the studio, and it was tagged on to one of their albums. And it's like the best one they got, you know? So we're just that way. We write quick. Because if you think about songs too much, they just they suck ass real hard.
Well, what you have now that I've heard is just fucking incredible, and I'm sorry to say I never discovered you before.
Well, you know, there'll be a time. We had to let some people go today, but there's no way we can't play music. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I mean, it. I can't do anything else. All I know how to do is play music. I'm not a husband, dude, you know?
Right.
I'm not a good boyfriend. I'm not a good employee. All I am is a dude who plays music, you know?
Yeah.
So 6 months go by, we'll get back and, you know, we'll be back up in Roanoke and, you know, Virginia Beach and Philadelphia and Florida. I mean, you know, we'll get back on the road and do it again. We just had to take some time off.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, we played Roanoke, where you guys are based out of, and we had a great time. As a matter of fact, it was her first show. And there was over 100 people there. It was a good fucking crowd. I remember I took pictures of like some kid got his fucking nose busted while we were playing, and like there's like bloody rags all in the men's bathroom trash, and I was like, that's so fucking cool, you know? I mean, someone's like gets their fucking face beat in while because of our music. So no, I like rolling up a good bit.
That's good, because hopefully, besides what we're doing here and what Rebecca's doing, we're hoping to bring more of that into Roanoke and make Roanoke more of a thing, so, you know, bands like you can come in there and put on a fucking hell of a show. One of the most things I was struck by was instrumentation of what you guys are doing, and it's fucking, it's incredible, but, you know, in the 10 years that you've been doing that, it's kind of like... You guys have done a lot of shows, obviously, in 10 years.
A couple hundred.
Yeah. Based off your influences, is there any bands that you really wanted to, like, really open up for and do stuff with that you think would have really clicked well?
You know, the thing is that everybody that plays music, I'm the exception to the rule, because everybody wants to open up for their favorite bands. I never do, because I want to see my favorite bands. I don't want to play with them, because when I go see bands... Like, when I go see Alice Cooper Motorhead, they got some, you know, some fucking jack-off fucking opening band. I don't give a fuck about seeing who's opening up for Motorhead. I don't give a fuck about seeing who's opening up for the goddamn Dwarves.
Right.
I just want to see the fucking Dwarves.
Right.
So it's like, I figure that if I'm going there, I don't give a fuck how good the band is. I'm not going to give a fuck about this band. So, I mean, I've seen some incredible bands open up for bands I want to see, and me just not care. So I figure that's the way people are going to view us. But if I had to, like, say... I like to open up for Twisted Sister. Now, they're not a punk band, but they're a big influence on, like, me and my main songwriter, Steve Stab Fraley. I like to open up for Turbo Negro. They're one,
yeah.
They're one of the few rock and roll bands out there that's, like, dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but, I mean, that's really, you know, Motorhead.
All right, guys.
Alice Cooper.
Woo! We got Clint here from Flat Tires.
I'm glad I wasn't talking shit about him.
Not yet, anyway.
This guy kissed me one night on stage.
Really?
Yes, he did.
Down there or up here? I kiss him every chance I get.
Awesome.
You don't get too many good friends, and when you do, you know them and you remember them.
Yeah, you do.
A little slap and tickle.
This guy, my first show I ever did in my fucking life. This guy's been doing rock and roll forever. My first show I ever did in my life is with the Dead Kings, and I'm like, oh, fuck. So we're totally excited. We get there, and it's in my town, and this guy's like, you're going to headline. And I was like...
You said what, head?
I was like, ugh. He's like, yeah, you're going to headline. And I was like, ugh. And he's like, if anything bad happens, just do this. And I've never forgot it in my life. Every time something bad happens on stage, I'm like...
Well, you know, that's one thing you can always do. When you go to a town, you don't have a good following there. That's the rule. You always tell the other bands.
And I've learned that
locals.
I now, in hindsight, I look back on what he did, and I'm like, no fucking shit, goddamn.
Now, unless you're big there, unless you pull a crowd there, but like, you know, when we played that show in Roanoke. You know, we were playing with Thrasher, some shit like that.
Uh-huh.
And, like, Rebecca wanted us to headline. I'm just like, fuck no. We've never played Roanoke. So it's like, you know what? We're going to play while everybody's out in the fucking parking lot, like, you know, smoking cigarettes and getting blowjobs and shit. Like they're going to be like, who gives a fuck about this band from Charlotte? So, you know, that's always been my rule. If I have a say-so, I always, like, make the
And it was, oh, my local. God, it wasn't just y'all. It was Ironhead, too.
Yeah, it was Ironhead from Virginia Beach.
Ironhead from Virginia Beach?
Yeah, our first show is Dead Kings and goddamn Ironhead.
Oh, you know those guys?
I know of them, too.
MySpace.
No.
Man, I was fucking scared, dude. Yeah. I was so scared. I sat outside the back door. Like, I sat outside the back door, and these guys are on stage playing. My guys... I ain't fucking going out there, man. They had to come out there and get me. Somebody came out there. I was like, go out there.
God damn.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, but wait till you see them tonight. They've got you got over 100 shows under you about now, right?
I think so.
Got over 100 shows under their belt, and you know what? 3, 4, 5 years later.
Four. We just had our fourth birthday.
Four years later. I mean, they fucking. These people are all here to see them. And it's like, you know, they do a good show.
Well, we had some good educators. I think I went to 450 goddamn Dead King shows. So I remember back when they were a three-piece.
Yeah.
Wearing Blues Brothers suits.
Yeah.
And this guy had a guy in a headlock at a show.
Wait, oh, you were there?
Was that your show or was that an NCC show?
It was NCC Member of the War show. I got in a fight with somebody.
This guy's headlock and it had a pillar like that. He's like, watching the show. He's driving his butt metal kid's head into a goddamn fucking wall, and I was like,
I didn't know you were there.
Yeah, I was there.
So I guess this rules out you doing a polka version of the safety dance. Is that right?
I mean, we could do some polka versions, though. That's not a problem.
He's going to do a Cyndi Lauper song.
Girls just want to have fun.
No, or? I've been wanting to cover, did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, True Colors? Or?
No, money changes everything.
Oh my God.
I want to redneck it out. Money changes everything.
I think you should do Shabab.
Shabab was cool. It's about girl masturbation. That's an awesome song.
There you go.
Hey, we probably get some of these girls out here to demonstrate this shit.
No, you're in Charlotte.
Yeah, you got to go to South Carolina.
These girls.
Oh, we ain't got long to go, actually.
These girls ain't fucking nobody. This is Charlotte.
Really?
Fuck no.
I thought Roanoke was bad.
There's a Hickory chick here she'll probably put out.
Oh, okay.
In Norfolk, Virginia, the term there is no fuck Virginia. Well,
what do you mean? We don't drink, we don't smoke Norfolk?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a cheerleader's chant over there.
Well, here in
you
Charlotte.
Guys are actually now done. Where we're playing is Roanoke, right?
That's where they're from.
I've heard a lot of good shit about Roanoke. Like, I heard about old Candy Snatcher shows and like.
Oh. The old Iroquois and shit?
That's what I've always heard. Yeah, I've been really wanting to go to Roanoke. That's why when Becca. Rebecca hit us up about that. I was like, fuck yeah, goddamn. I've been trying to get into Roanoke forever. So I'm really looking forward to this a lot. Like,
a lot of those like Philly DC bands used to play in Roanoke like back in the day, you know. All used to play there.
That's all I've ever heard about.
Not all.
Well, the old Iroquois was a place to go. A lot of the bands got fucked through there, but we did get some good shows there. Suicidal Tendencies would come through there.
I thought you got some good bands.
I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was talking about.
I hate that cholo motherfucker.
Oh, you mean the,
It's funny you say that, because like 5 minutes ago, that dude over there with the flannel shirt that was standing beside me, we were doing that, we pulled his toboggan down, and like buttoned his top button up, and like unbuttoned the rest of him, we were like, ese vato.
No, I'm just messing with you.
Do you want a Pepsi?
There's some decent, like, suicidal.
I want to be a cholo.
It's very little good suicidal, but it's all early shit.
Well, no, for Roanoke, that was a big deal.
Oh, imagine
back
so.
In the day, that was when the Join the Army album came out.
Oh, yeah. I swear to God,
I was watching the other night. I was watching, off subject, but I was watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing on Showtime.
Oh, yeah.
And this Metallica has a Suicidal Tendencies guy playing bass now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with cornrows.
But did you say who played with him that night?
Yeah.
Fucking Ray Davies from the Kinks playing with fucking Metallica. Yeah. He smoked them. That old fucking bastard just like made them look stupid. He was like, it's like, look at this. Like, I got the biggest fucking band in the world as my backup band. He just made them look stupid, yeah. Man.
The other guy played with them too.
Lou Reed.
Yeah, Lou Reed.
Lou Reed.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though I have really fucked up vibes and feelings about Metallica, I will give them that. They've always, in some way, like, they fucking somehow pull out these old guys from punk rock and like.
Yeah, if it was no Metallica, Misfits, no one would give a fuck about that band.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
You're right.
I mean, and I like the Misfits. And that Metallica Misfits connection is how I got into punk, like, back, you know, 20 years ago. But it's like, I mean, Jerry Only will tell you that. If there was no fucking Metallica, there'd be no goddamn Misfits.
I still think Wrath of Lightning is one of the best albums.
It's goddamn amazing.
Well, I say.
People ask me why I don't like DRI. I don't say I dislike them, but I never got into it.
Oh, okay.
Why I never got into Megadeth. And I tell them straight up, man, my introduction to thrash as a very young person on accident was Metallica. And it was fucking Battery, man.
Oh, God.
There ain't nothing fucked with that shit, man. Yes. Like, you couldn't touch that shit if you were into that music, man. Like,
I know.
You listen to Megadeth, you're like.
Well, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
the very first album, Killing's My Business, The Business Is Good. I thought that was a good album. But after that,
I tell people that they Kill 'Em All, it's like a great punk rock record.
It is. It is.
Right, it's a punk rock record. Because they're
jumping
fucking
into the fire, shit like that, yeah.
Motor Breath. That's a three-chord punk song. And that drummer's terrible. That's why they're so good. Because think about it.
Yeah.
If like all through like the 80s, if they had like a Dave Lombardo drummer, they would be terrible because they would have like a really good drummer who could like play anything they wanted to. But they don't. They got a guy that like is it's like the worst drummer in the world playing drums for him. So
it's like on that documentary that they had. Recording, and they're like, no, play this beat.
That dude is so terrible. That dude's like a fucking jillionaire and being the worst fucking drummer ever. There is no talent in that goddamn band. That dude can't sing. Both those guitar players suck ass. They got a goddamn fucking banana picker. Goddamn, they can't play fucking bass. Play, you know.
Banana picker?
You know, playing goddamn bass for them, writing some shitty ass fucking songs, and they're packing out fucking stadiums. I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, terrible fucking band. I'd rather listen to fucking Radiohead than new Metallica.
Okay.
I'd rather listen, and I hate Radiohead. I'd rather listen to goddamn Weezer or with some emo fucking fag shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'll back you up on that. Same here.
I'd rather listen to all that. I'd rather listen to Metallica.
How do you go from what they were to what they are?
Money.
Changes everything.
Money.
Okay. Money.
There are people that will tell you the first Metallica album is that black one.
Man, I had a Mexican walk up to me. I'm from Corpus Christi, Texas. I had a Mexican walk up to me like 5 years after I quit listening to Metallica. And he was like, hey, man, you ever heard of Metallica?
What?
And it was like that whole Inner Sandman era.
Oh,
I would have been like, you ever heard of getting headbutted right in the fucking nose? Go pick some goddamn lettuce.
I didn't know what he was talking about. I was like, no, I haven't. He's like, they put the shit on. I was like,
I would have been like, hey, ain't you got a wall to sheetrock?
Hey, you guys want to introduce the next song? Hellstomper. You guys know Alan King, right?
Oh, a little bit.
Hellstomper.
They do a Hellstomper song tonight.
Yeah, we're
just holler
at her. Hellstomper song tonight.
Next song's Hollin' Ass. Holler into it. Come on, let's do it.
1, 2, 3. Hollin' Ass!
We're going to be doing PBR tonight. So.
Are you really?
Yeah, they do PBR.
It's on our CD, and Alan the King sings it with us.
Yeah, they're good friends with him. I'm good friends with Alan. I haven't talked to Alan in a few years.
Hey, son, fucker, I'm a hellbound journey, but I make things real. Gonna make bitch your eye, just never die, gonna make things real. That's shotgun, right, shotgun, don't be no reason why. Make it in, get out of my way, don't kiss your ass, goodbye. We'll be right back.
All right, Joey Fuck up here. And
woo!
Where am I at, Brian? The milestone?
What?
Where am I at?
Oh, you know where you're at.
I'm just kidding. We start to set off with Hell Stomper with Hall and Ass off the album of the same name, Alan King's first creation. And some of Alan King's friends are here in this place. Place is really filling up. A lot of fucking killer fucking tunes going on. After that, we had Uranium 9-Volt with Split Derision. Then we had the legendary Slaughter and the Dawes with Twist and Turn. Then we had the Vice Squad with Black Sheep. And then, of course, Agent Orange with Everything Turns Gray. And we're just hanging out here. And I think I'm getting ready to, like, take a quick jaunt out to Brian's car so I can pull out some Apple Pie Shine and share it with some of these local legends. What do you think, Brian? I just finished out my Mickey's Big Mouth. Brian's drinking a PBR 24-ouncer.
Woo! Yeah, it's a pretty cool place here. Of course, I think this is the only bar I've seen that has Mickey's bottles,
yeah,
which is pretty fucking sweet.
Definitely.
And a lot of cool, you know, a lot of local band folk here. It's pretty cool. It's, you know, yeah, it's pretty cool.
As we keep looking around.
Exactly. I feel like we're like, you know, the cubs in the forest or something, you know, unsure of the territory and, you know, afraid we're going to get raped up the ass or something. I don't know.
By the way, Brian, need your keys.
That's right.
Car keys?
Okay.
I'll be right back, Brian.
Okay.
All right, Joey Fuck up here. I'm getting ready to interview the legendary Mad Brother Ward.
No.
No, you are legendary.
No.
As far as I'm concerned, you are.
The newspaper says I'm only somewhat legendary.
Well, they suck, so. The Dividers.
Dividers
have been coming on pretty well. Fucking, I dig that shit. The last band you had, last couple of years. To the untrained ear, as we are talking to right now, what's the difference between the Dividers and your last band?
Okay, the band that I recorded with was the Screaming Street Trash. Basically, I was younger, and I don't know, it's different people, it's different approach, different attitude, I guess. I don't know. Not a complete different attitude. It's just, you know, you just grow up and you get older and your perspectives change, and you know, now it's just how can I put it? More blue collar. Does that make any sense? You know, mileage under the belt kind of changes your perspective.
Yeah. Obviously, you're wearing your influences on your vest there.
Oh yeah.
But again, we're not on YouTube. I mean, you've got like everybody. You got like Sham 69, The Who, Sid. You know, you got Johnny Cash.
We kind of are influenced by a little bit of everything. You know.
That's like, awesome.
You know, anything good. We're not. I don't think anyone's going to equate us with like a Southern California pop punk band. That's for sure. You know.
Right.
All of us come from different ideas, different backgrounds. We all bring kind of different things to it. So I don't know how other people would interpret it. You know, it just comes out the way it does. I think our chief kind of collective influence is like kind of like. I don't know. I'd say punk rock accent on the rock, you know.
Yeah.
A little more rock and rolly, a little less hardcore. And that's, you know, not that that's better or right or whatever. It's subjective, just how we do it.
You're about, what, 38?
Yeah.
So that's I'm 39, so I'm about a year older than you. But when you were a kid, I mean, like, what records, like, set you on fire, and you're like, fuck yeah, I'm going to be a rock and roll star?
I'm not a rock and roll star.
I consider you a rock and roll star.
You know,
anyway.
I it depends how far back you want to go. When I was a little kid, I can remember being 10 years old and coming home from school And mom and dad had the old console stereo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My parents had one of those.
The 8-track player?
Hell yeah, man. And you had, stack the records up and
you
know, shit. Yeah.
And it was either Kiss Records, AC/DC 8-track, high voltage.
Okay.
You know, and I was like rocking out in my living room with one of my mom's little flower vases that I turned upside down because it looked like a microphone.
Yeah.
Stuffed a jump rope in it. I'm like, you know, long way to the top, you know. And all.
Hell yeah.
10 years old, you know. Never cared about video games. Never got into that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I never was into the skateboarding thing or any of that stuff. I just, you know, I've just always been the music nerd, you know. And so it's like, you know, you just got all this different stuff that I've been, you know, growing up listening to. And, you know, I go through phases of being real into one thing or another. But, you know, hopefully I've grasped onto the best of it. You know, as I got older, certainly when he got into the punk rock thing, Anti-Scene was a huge influence. Coming from this town, you know, I mean, when you're 19, 18, or however old I was, when I came in kind of late on that, you know. And I saw them the first time here in this club.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, it's like, I can't even begin to describe that experience, you know. It was just so overwhelming, you know. And that kind of grew me, because then I got into, like, the G.G. Allin and that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, okay.
And then, you know, I was like, I don't want to listen to Green Day, you know, or nothing like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the Dead Boys. Yeah, you know, that's kind of where we rallied.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Sweetness fan, and just all the classic kind of stock and trade shit. But,
yeah.
You know.
Fucking sweet. Well, you know, a lot of bands will be modest and say, well, you know, if you had like a dream opening date for somebody, like anybody, you know, some of them will say, well, no, we're not going to, like, we wouldn't do that with this band or that band, even though we love them, but what would be your dream show to, like, open up for somebody? Who would it be?
Like, current or
anybody, fucking anybody.
You know, my favorite band probably is probably the Lazy Cowgirls.
Okay, yeah.
I love that band, you know.
Yes.
I never got to see them, you know.
I hadn't either, so.
You
but.
Know, so I'm like, I'd love, you know, maybe that would probably be it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real heavy influence on me in a lot of different ways. You probably won't hear it or see it, but, I mean, I'm really heavily influenced by that.
Oh, fucking A.
That'd probably be it. I don't know. I'm kind of mercenary. If I get to open for somebody big or name, I'm
sure.
It's not the privilege of playing with that band so much as it is, you know, hey, I get to play in front of people, you
right.
know. As
yeah.
opposed to 60 people, it'll be 600, you know. That's hopefully, you know. I don't usually get afforded those opportunities, but when I do, I try to seize them.
Well, now, throughout the years, you know, you're my age, so, like, what would have been, the biggest show you've ever been to, yourself, without performing at it?
Biggest show?
Like to you, you're, like, a personal favorite. Like,
oh, you mean
this
like
was
a favorite
the shit.
Probably the Stooges. I saw the Stooges in New York City at the...
No shit.
Little Stevens Underground Garage Rock. The Stooges and the New York Dolls.
Yeah.
The Dictators played that afternoon. I'm a huge Dictators fan.
Oh, goddamn.
Dictators owned it for, like, half an hour. They just came in and were like... Okay, it's 5 o'clock, but we don't care.
Cool.
You know, so it was awesome. And, you know, I love that. And I've seen the Stooges twice. I saw them in Memphis, too, and that was really good.
No shit.
Yeah. And,
wow.
That's hard to top. I've seen Iggy Solo, too, and that was really, really good. That was at a club, and that was like, that was just insanity.
God.
So, I mean, where do you go from that? You can't, you know. I saw X. I've seen X like several times, but there was one time in particular I thought it was the top five shows I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
They were just on that night. Just one of those things. Of course, Anti-Scene. I have the privilege of seeing Anti-Scene a lot because I work with them. You know, I travel around with them and stuff.
Right.
And, they did a show that's been almost 20 years ago. Well, now, one show in particular I can remember just... You know, that's in my top five of all time. Saw G.G. Allin. So, you know, what do you
did he fling shit on you? Did he fling some shit on you?
No, he didn't. Nope. Yeah, he did not. Actually, that show's on a DVD they sell.
Oh, really?
And
wow,
I guess you could say it was a tame GG show. I don't know. I don't know what you call. You know, and he did all that stuff backstage after the show.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, he used a turkey baster and created an enema with it. It was interesting. But, you know, and he was really cool to us. That meant a lot, too. You know, he used to come to Charlotte a bunch and just hang out, you know, because he was friends with the Anderson's. He was Jeff Clayton. He was real tight with him. So we'd just go over and hang out with him and stuff. And he got to where he'd be a lot more relaxed and wouldn't be in his, you know, trying to put on the whatever, you know. But he gave me some great advice, though, in Atlanta. He came over to us, and it was me and a buddy of mine. We were, like, maybe 19 at the time. And he came over to us, which was cool, because he came and he sat down next to us and asked us questions. We had this little punk band that we had going, and he asked us questions about it. This is after they played, you know, and all these people were back there trying to get a hold of him and stuff, and he was just like, you know, wait a minute. And he had that, you know, that New England accent he had, you know, like, and he's chewing bubble gum because he had no teeth. They pulled all his teeth out while he was in prison. So he's like, you know, while he's talking and stuff. And he goes, just whatever you do, you know, do what you gotta do. Don't do what I do. Do what you do. And do it hot. I remember that. Do it hot. And we were just like, well, that was really cool. And like I said, going back in the NI scene, like I've known Jeff Clayton since I was, you know, 18, 19 and stuff. He's always been supportive and always been cool.
Wow.
And I mean, it means a lot when you got somebody that, you know, has gone and achieved something.
Yeah.
A history like that. Taking the time and offering you advice, you know, and suggestions, you know, and so that's always a good thing, you know. So that's the stuff that's important to me.
Now, if there was ever, like, a CD done that was, like, a lot of bands that would cover your songs.
Well, that would never happen.
If it did, though.
If it happened.
I mean, it happens. It really does. But, you know, who would be your top person you would want to cover one of your songs? Which one would it be?
I couldn't even guess. I couldn't even begin to guess that.
Really?
Yeah, that's just beyond my realm of understanding. I don't, you know, it'd just be weird. So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I couldn't. You know,
really?
Yeah. I have a hard time accepting people, like, coming up and saying, oh, man, you're great. And I'm like, yeah. Don't be fake nice. I don't know. That's just me, you know.
You should, though, because I think you're
I appreciate it, but it's just awkward, you know.
I think your music reaches a lot farther than what you think, dude. And trust me, us up here in Roanoke, we see that. So
it's interesting when I travel with Anticene and I got my old records on a CD, and every once in a while you'll be in a place like Oklahoma City. You know, and the guy that runs the record store is like, I got to get 5 of those.
Yeah.
It's like, what? You know? Oh, and then your head blows up. Of course you've got to get 5.
Right.
Of course, you know. So, you know, it's weird. It's just, you know, it's a weird
thing. We're looking a lot forward coming. You coming back up to Roanoke.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope that should be a good time. Right?
Yeah.
We got to get certain people come out and they'll have a good time.
Well, we enjoy your music. I think it's positive to the underground music scene, and
we try.
I don't know. It's a big deal to us. It's a privilege to actually have you here talking to us. So we appreciate you taking the time and doing that.
So, you know,
so
I'm not much for getting press or soliciting press. You know, I just do it.
It's awesome. I can't wait to see you do your thing, man.
Yep.
So
you're about to. You're ready.
That's awesome. Brian, you got anything to add?
I think everything was covered. I'm just going to stand over here in the shadow again. Sorry.
It's not my show, apparently.
Anyway.
Like, to me, one of the most brutal hardcore bands. They were Bad Posture recorded their album in New York City and were a New York band and a San Francisco band. They had lived in both places at different times. And, you know, I moved out there as an 18-year-old kid and was into punk rock. I lived in Houston and I moved out to San Francisco and got in a couple punk rock bands. And they were, Will Shatter was wanting to do something other than Flipper and was hooking up with the guys from Bad Posture as they were breaking up the bass player and drummer. They needed a guitar player. And the guys from Bad Posture had seen me play the band I was in, and they asked me, would I come and try out, you know? And I was like, I liked Flipper, but I was more into aggressive music. And I was like, I could care less what the singer is. You bass and drummer are you guys. I'm coming to try out. I want to play. And it was real interesting because it was very, you know, Will had a, kind of a manager at the time, which was his girlfriend. But it was, you know, they already had plans. They had a record deal. They had management and shit. And so, you know, I was a kid. And it was a cool experience, and back in the heyday, really, of San Francisco, the second half of San Francisco hardcore punk. First half was like Crime and the Nuns and kind of weird punk, weird punk rock, and transitioned into some hardcore shit there. And so that was a really cool experience to about 86, and then we toured, and after the tour, things kind of fell apart, but we did an album, which is, I think it was a good album. And then I moved back to Texas, and when I lived in San Francisco, I got to know Nikki Sicky, who had a band, Verbal Abuse. Well, before Verbal Abuse, he had Sick Pleasure in San Francisco. And I thought Sick Pleasure was a great band. I had their split with Code of Honor. I had a 7-inch of theirs. I really liked him. I got to know Nikki really through his girlfriend. And I moved back to Texas, and when I moved back to Texas, I got in a band called Sick Mentality. These guys, they were the most hated band in town, and I was like, perfect. They needed another guitar player. It's kind of like moving here and playing with Russ. Everybody hates him, you know. So I moved back to Texas, same thing. But I hooked up with these guys, and for about, really for 8 years, and they went from being the most hated to being... We were like the band that got every gig with every good band. We got a break early on opening for Suicidal Tendencies, right when they were like, it was 88, I think. You know, I mean, it was after the Pepsi song and all that shit, but they were still, Suicidal was still pretty big, and we opened for them in the review of the show in Houston. We got wrote about more than Suicidal. And so every punk rock band that came through, we got the show, we got to be really good, and we got an album. We did an album and toured and played a lot. And after, man, probably about 5 years or so, things started falling apart with us, with the singer guitar player. And Nikki was living in Houston playing, Nikki Sicky, and I'd known him. And we got a gig in New Orleans on Fat Tuesday opening for Gwar. And I was like, fuck, we need a fucking singer. And so I'm like, Nikki, can you come do a show with us in New Orleans, you know, opening for Gwar? We practiced like 2 or 3 times with them. We went down and played the show, and we got back, and we're like, dude, what are you doing? You want to start playing with us? We're not be Sick Mentality. We'll do a new band. And we wound up doing Humongous, and that led for 10 years me playing with Nikki in Humongous. And, you know, he wound up going in and out of jail. We did a couple albums, but so I did some side bands on the side. But, you know, I had really great relationship with him. We worked really well as him as a songwriter. That's like me and Will Shatter worked really good. Okay. Because I wrote all the music and he wrote the words, and same with Nikki. And it was a really good working relationship. That's a big difference with Bad Brother Ward. Like, I just kind of play his songs for the most part. We play one of mine right now, but... The other bands, I was always a songwriter, and me and Nikki Sicky had a real good relationship. Will Shatter, same thing with songwriting. And so we did Humongous like 10 years, but we got invited to play the new music festival. I think that's what it's called. It was in New York City. So we went up there and played. And on the flight up there, Nikki and I were talking about cover songs we wanted to play, and he talked about the Dead Boys. Oh goddamn! I can't even remember the goddamn song now. Huh? Ain't it fun? Yeah, and so we go up there and we met Cheetah Chrome. Yes. And he wound up coming to Texas, playing on her album.
That is awesome.
But he lived with me for like 6 months.
God damn.
On and off. I played with him for a couple years and shit. And in this time with Humongous and Nikki Sikki, I had a side band. And in the side band, drummer was the original Eric Breck, DRI, Kirk's brother, who's the singer. So Eric and Brett Dodwell, who was the bass player from Verbal Abuse. So, you know, I've had a lot of good opportunities playing with good people. And I moved to North Carolina. I started looking on some website about punk rock, and I found the description, actually, of the Dead Kings. And so I emailed the dude. This was 2002. I like, hey, man, I'm a guitar player. I'm looking. Can you send me anywhere? And he's like, I know this guy, G.G. Allin, this and that. And I'm like, okay, well, I've seen G.G. Allin back throwing shit on people, sticking a turkey baster up his ass, all that shit. I'm not really my thing, but I'll give the guy a call. And so on and off for...
Ray's not a junkie.
Right. So on and off since 2002. And, you know, I'm kind of like, after playing with Nikki Sikki so long, playing with Will Shatter, you know, the lyrics are what's most important to me. And, you know, I really like what Russ writes and that belief, you know, he's singing what he experiences in life and how he feels. And to me, that's what's important. So, but I haven't played with anybody else from the last 7 years, you know, it's like, and so.
Tell him what you told Dave.
What did I tell Dave?
About my difficulty.
Your difficulty? You're difficult? What did I tell? I don't remember what I told
you. I was the most difficult person you've ever been in a band with.
You are the most difficult person I've ever been in a band with. Will Shatter was easy. Nikki Sikki was so easy to play with. Will Shatter was easy to play with, too. But Cheetah, at times, was very easy. At times, was interesting. You know.
Sure.
And when we first met Cheetah was probably not at the best point in his life. You know, but... You know how things go, and that was just an honor. One of the biggest things for me was we were recording Sonic Reducer, and he's like, "You play the lead on this song." I'm like, "No way, Cheetah Girl! Just told me to play lead on Sonic Reducer." He's like, "I'm sick of it," you know.
Shit.
So we had a lot of good gigs, a lot of fun with Cheetah Chrome. I mean, it was really a lot of fun. And, so I've been pretty fortunate and. Yeah, you know, there's been some good people I've played with. And,
you can really take this stage, Georgeson.
Yeah, we need to go get set up.
All right, well, man, I appreciate you taking the time out.
All right, thanks, man.
And this is fucking cool-ass history.
Yeah, I'm an old man and been
and
around.
You're a legend,
Well, that's one of the things, you know, somebody told me, like, after two or three years in San Francisco that the first band I was in, and maybe 3 years later, and they had like opened or doing a tofu yogurt shop or something, and they kicked me out of their band. It was in when I was out there because I wasn't punk rock enough. Because like they told me I had to dress a certain way on stage and all that. I showed up to the gig the same way I always did, in jeans and a t-shirt. I'm not wearing your fucking uniform, man. And you know, like 3 years later, he's like, "You're one of the few people that still play punk rock." And that was after 3 years, you know. And now it's been like. I hate to say how many, but you know, 20 something years later and still doing it. So I'm like, you know, I tell people I'm not a very good guitar player. I do what I do and I play punk rock guitar. So
that's awesome. That's shit, man.
All right, man. Well, you guys have a good one.
I appreciate you taking the time out, man.
All right. Thanks.
So thank you.
All
right. Oh!
fucking slaves. And did anybody else? Many of us so believe. Cause they couldn't fucking deal. And you can go on your walk and see the things there is to see.
Marching on the yellow cap for a fight. A dead rising up again. Radio's gonna make them feel alright.
All right, Whiskey Brian here. So that set was Kidnap, a great France band with Syphilis, Mistake Conte, Piebald with Time Lost, the No 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 Hopes with Rolling Up My Sleeves. I was off their 7-inch, Les Rats with Cis de les Moutons. That was off the Punk in France compilation, The Things with Demon Stomp, off of their self-titled album. And anyways, thank you for listening. This is Whiskey and Water Beds number 39. Till next time, Whisk Brian with Joey Fuck Up.
Woo!
That's it with the Avenues and Alleyways.
I am fucked up.